It's usually my custom to identify when we're in the middle of a sermon series, and I'm still not sure if we are, but this is my second consecutive message based on Paul's second letter to Timothy, and we'll see if I stay in this, but certainly the letter has got my attention, and I'm enjoying my study of 2 Timothy, and hope you will today and possibly in the coming weeks. Let us prepare our hearts for the preaching of God's Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we trust that in the midst of human voices, you might touch our heart, that we would hear your voice speaking through your word, the scriptures. Lord, continue to touch and inspire our hearts to more closely follow you and to represent you well in this world. Through Christ our Savior, we pray. Amen. Those of you who are here two Sundays ago might remember that we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 1, where Paul encourages Timothy to stoke the fire that is within him. And you might remember we looked at the whole overall context of what Paul is doing with this letter. That this is a farewell letter, if you will. Paul's earthly life is coming to an end, and so he writes this special letter to his dear friend, his brother in the Lord, Timothy. Timothy, as you may know, is something like a protege, an apprentice to Paul. And so the encouragement to us from a couple of weeks ago is that we would benefit greatly if each of us sought out and found a Paul for our life. That we, like Timothy, would have some spiritual advisor, someone who could help us understand the scriptures, help us to better understand the way of Christ, someone who could correct us when we get off course. The Christian church would be well served if every person within had a Paul in their life. But we also noted that it wasn't only Timothy that benefited from this relationship, but Paul talks about the joy and satisfaction he gets from mentoring Timothy and guiding him and encouraging him. And so it was put to us that day, two Sundays ago, that not only should we have a Paul in our life, but we should seek to be a Paul to someone else. And we dreamed of what the Christian church in this world, we dreamed what this place could be like if every single one of us had a Paul and were being a Paul to another. This morning I want us to look more at the content of the actual letter itself. And I note that as we wade through chapter 2, Paul tells Timothy some very basic things, which is a little bit unusual because Timothy is a church leader in his own right. He is a leader among leaders, and yet Paul returns him to some very, very basic principles. Makes me think of that famous speech given by Vince Lombardi to the Green Bay Packers, where he began a lesson to them by holding up a football and saying, "Gentlemen, this is a football." Which is an unusual thing to say to professional football players because seemingly they already understand that. It's the more complex aspects of the game that they need to know. But Vince Lombardi did that because it is our habit that when we gain information, when we become more experienced, we sometimes get away from very basic things. We tend to overthink things. And so like Vince Lombardi saying, this is a football, Paul points Timothy in the basic way of being a follower of Jesus. So that's what I'd like us to look at this morning. The question of what should mark a follower of Jesus? How does a follower of Jesus get on in life? And the key phrase is in verse 1. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That, in that verse, contains the key aspect of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, to be in step with our Savior, is to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I'd like to unpack what that means. But I think it's worth noting off the bat what Paul does not say here. Paul does not call Timothy, he does not call us to be strong in yourselves. He does not call us to be strong in ourselves. The answer to Timothy's timid ways is not better self-esteem. Self-esteem has some value, to be sure. But the answer to what ails humanity is not improved self-esteem. It's not an improved view of what we can do, an improved view of what we're capable of. My capacity to overcome hardship, my capacity to represent Jesus Christ well in this world, my capacity to effectively love others does not depend upon my self-esteem. The resources I need, the resources you need to do God's will, these resources do not come from within, but from without. Followers of Jesus have access to the greatest resource in the universe, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see, Paul's counsel to us and to Timothy is not to manufacture spiritual power, not to create it, but to tap into spiritual power that's already available to you and to me. Wouldn't it be great to be able to tap into this immense strength? Some people do this by reading books. They want to improve their intellectual power, their intellectual strength. And so they read lots of books. They do puzzles, Sudoku, and crosswords, and they strengthen their intellectual muscles. Some people pursue physical strength by exercising regularly, by lifting weights. Some pursue emotional strength by regularly seeing a therapist. Some pursue spiritual strength by showing up at a place like St. Giles Kingsway on a Sunday morning. All of these pursuits are reasonable. They're positive. But I'm mindful that Paul isn't interested in Timothy's intellectual capacity. I note that Timothy isn't exhorted to add to his physical strength, nor is Timothy commended for being emotionally stable. All of these things would be helpful, but apparently none of these things are essential to Timothy's progress towards greater Christ-likeness. To make spiritual advances, to overcome challenges to our faith, one course is better than all the rest. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Paul's exhortation is in the present tense. It should be literally translated, "Keep being strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." So you see, the Christian life doesn't simply begin with grace, but it also continues with grace. It depends on grace. I fear that too many followers of Jesus understand that we begin by grace, but don't appreciate that we continue by grace. We understand amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. We know that grace got us started, but I fear that many of us think that since grace got us going, it's up to us to finish the course. And we forget the second half of the song. 'Tis grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. I think the Christian church has to remind themselves that grace isn't the starting point, but it's our ongoing source of strength. I don't know if you ever imagined me in my study preparing a message for Sunday morning. I suspect if you had a camera with audio in my study, you would look at me on a Tuesday and think, I don't think he's going to get it done. Look at him. He's just staring at the book. He's not writing down. Write something down, Bryn. But Sunday after Sunday, I somehow get a message done. And the reason I get a message done has little to do with me and everything to do with grace. I'm not coasting off of yesterday's grace. I'm depending on future grace. As we look ahead to the week, as you look ahead to your week, maybe you've got some busy things happening, some appointments, some big things at work. How are you going to get through that? I would say that the scripture says you'll only get through it by future grace. Grace you haven't experienced yet, but grace that you will need to endure, to succeed. Friends, we not only begin with grace, we need it every moment of our lives. I've tried the route of doing it myself, trying to do things by my own strength. It doesn't work. I've tried to do things by reading more books, by exercising more, by drinking lots of coffee, energy drinks, you name it. It doesn't give you enough. It'll never be enough. We need something bigger, much bigger, to succeed and to endure. What we need is grace. What is grace? Simply put, I would say that grace is the riches and the resources of Jesus Christ. Now, there's an acronym. When you look at grace, you can say God's riches at Christ's expense. And that's good and helpful. For our purposes this morning, grace is the riches and the resources of Jesus Christ. And to gain more grace, Paul directs us in particular ways. He actually gives us three occupations, which are metaphors. And he gives these metaphors to us as a way to maximize the inflow of grace. He gives us first the metaphor of a soldier. And a soldier is marked by three things, according to Paul. A soldier has a willingness to endure hardship. A willingness to endure hardship. Secondly, a soldier has an unwillingness to get caught up in worldly matters. And thirdly, a soldier is eager to please the commanding officer. And I'm so interested to note that Paul places these metaphors, right next to the exhortation to be strong in the grace of Jesus. It's as if Paul's telling us that the way to be strong, the way to get this future grace, the way to get this power from Christ, is to try to be like the soldier. That it's in the midst of hardship that you'll find that God gives you adequate strength to stand firm. I hear Paul saying that as you focus less on temporal things and focus more on kingdom things, you'll notice that more grace comes into your life. That as we seek to please Jesus Christ more than we seek to please our children, our grandchildren, our spouse, our best friends, the more we focus on pleasing the general, Jesus Christ, the more grace we will receive. The second occupation or metaphor that Paul gives us is that of an athlete. And I'm interested that out of all the ways Paul could have talked about relating an athlete's habits to a Christian's, the one way he does it is by saying that the athlete conforms to rules. That the athlete conforms to rules. And that if you don't conform to the rules, you can't win the prize. Now, I realize that many people don't like rules. They don't like hard and fast rules. They like to think of things as being in shades of gray. We like to be our own man. We like to be our own woman. And yet it appears that the flow of grace, according to Paul, has some relationship to staying within certain parameters. so that if we have a total disregard for Scripture and the precepts found therein, we ought not to expect an abundance of grace. Paul puts it plainly. Follow the rules. Stay within bounds, and the resources of Jesus Christ will abound to you. Now, I recognize there is a theological tension here. We know from other places in Scripture that grace is not something we earn. Grace is not a prize for the most spiritually fit. Grace is a resource for the spiritually needy. So the tension here is that grace is not something we normally earn. And yet here we find Paul putting it plainly, that we're not irrelevant to this process, that there is something we can do to maximize the flow of grace in our life. And if we want proof of that, we look at that third metaphor, the one of the hard-working farmer. Some of you know that I'm very proud of my heritage and that my grandfather was a fruit farmer in Niagara. And my grandpa Irwin passed away a couple of years ago, but his witness to me and his example to me lives on freshly in my memory. And as a farmer, it's interesting for me to note that I've never met in my life anyone who worked as hard as my grandfather. My grandpa Irwin, the farmer, outlasted me all the time. I remember as a teenager, I would be out on his farm. He's in his 60s. I'm in my teens, and I can't keep up with him. He knew how to take hard work to a different level. And so I come to a passage like this, and I'm like, whoa, Paul, you want my approach to Christianity? You want my approach to following Jesus to resemble my grandfather's approach to looking after his farm? That's huge. Paul's telling Timothy, and he's telling us, don't cut corners. Don't think 80% is good enough. Give Christ and the things of Christ your everything. Be constant in prayer. Be regular in your study of Scriptures. Pursue the things of Christ the way a farmer tends to his crops. Now I realize that the road that's outlined here by Paul is not an easy one. I mean, we can just now put the list together. Endure hardship like a soldier. Stay on mission like a soldier. Stay within prescribed parameters like an athlete. Work hard like a farmer. That's no picnic. That is challenging stuff. To some, that may even seem impossible. I guess what I want us all to hear this morning is that without grace, it is impossible. Without the grace of Jesus Christ, we cannot measure up. The task at hand is immense. But the resources available to you and to me are sufficient. The way of the Christian is challenging, but those who choose it will find great reward. We will experience the favor of our commanding officer, Jesus Christ. We will receive at the end of the race the victor's crown. The hard-working farmer receives the first share of the profit. There is great reward to each of us. To each of us who choose not to live by our own strength, but who choose to live by grace. Depend upon grace to get you through today, to get you through next week. Depend upon grace all the days of your life. Amen.